fund.
This is Jane. May I speak again?
Please. Would anybody else, does anybody else know they'd already like to speak some more?
Yeah, I'd like to say a couple things.
Okay, so Jane and then our Paul.
Well, I don't need 3 minutes. I'm wondering if there are any proposals in writing at this point that I've missed for the policy on code of conduct. I mean, we're dealing with that this evening also, right?
You know, if I can just answer quickly, I don't think we should get into that because I do think that we're going to need, we've limited this time to half an hour. I think what we need to come out with is a suspension policy. We were asked specifically to deal with the issue of DiRienzo's suspension, but I think we would be better suited to come out with a suspension procedure and deal with the code of conduct at our next meeting because I don't think we have time and I don't think that we've actually had the chance to discuss all of those issues and the sentiments and different interests at work in those yet. But, you know, that's my own opinion.
Okay, then to be more particular, is there a policy on suspensions that somebody wants to present at this time for us to discuss informally? I mean, I heard your general comments, but
Well, there was something that was submitted by Patty in the original motion that she put forward.
I have a copy of that.
About that. Well, actually, it's not specific language. There was my original proposal, which was that it be limited to one meeting beyond. But no, I don't think we have a final language for our suspension procedure in front of us. Does anybody know different?
This is Bob. Actually, Patty's motion was for limiting suspensions to the current meeting, and anything beyond that would have to get the two-thirds vote and have a 30 days notice.
Is that
in fact, also, this committee has a motion and some amendments pending as old as unfinished business from our last meeting.
Okay, and is it okay, Jane, if our Paul refreshes us on that before you finish up?
Do you want me to read Patty's? I have hers right in front of me.
Yeah, and if Paul, you could read what you've got afterwards. Go ahead.
Whereas suspensions longer than one meeting in effect constitute temporary removal, an elected board member resolved that Article 4, Section 9 of the revised Pacifica Foundation bylaws must be applied to any suspension longer than the meeting in which the alleged offense takes place.
Okay. Our Paul, what was the other thing that we've got?
Our unfinished business is a motion, a main motion, and two amendments to it. The main motion being the Governance Committee recommends to the PMB that it rescind the suspension passed on March 9th of an LSB member in New York. An amendment is, before any recommendation be made by this committee, that there be a process to investigate what happened. And the next amendment is that the Governance Committee have an executive session before next week's PNB meeting for the investigation.
And who was that?
This is Grace Aaron.
Okay, were you done, Jane?
Done enough, thanks.
Okay, we have our Paul and then Grace.
I'll just point out as the chair has noted, the reason why you can do something at a committee at a meeting is because everybody is assumed to have seen what happened, and you don't need to investigate and find out. One of the several things that happened with what happened on March 9th in New York was you had people voting who hadn't been at other meetings. They had only been told what had happened. They had not been there, and right there, that would very obviously violate the whole concept of why you can take certain actions at a meeting. Again, the thing was prepared ahead of time, so it wasn't as if anybody was doing something really about the meeting at which the suspension came in. Also, I'll point out, and this addresses also the ability of the PNB to deal with things and reverse things that happen at the LSB level. What happens when say a majority decides, you know, for reasons of they'd like to get 2/3 votes on things, eliminate a couple of people. And, you know, if you can allow a 6-month suspension, that could be very convenient, and some folks could, increase an almost majority to a full majority by suspending part of the LSB for 6 months. On top of which, something that came up on March 9th, one of the arguments against what was done, was if you could do it for an enormous time, like 6 months. Remember, we only have 3-year terms. If you could do it for an enormous time, like 6 months, what would then prevent a majority from saying we're going to suspend somebody for 2 years and 11 months, and, you know, just basically wipe out their time on the LSB? There are a lot of things to consider here, and I think above all we have to consider fairness to everyone and the fact that some of this stuff really, I think, will not pass muster in front of a judge and or jury, and we have to protect Pacifica from some people's actions causing serious legal problems.
Race?
I agree to a great degree with R. Paul, but also feel that Dave's compromise is a good one. I think that there was enough lack of process on the part of the LSB regarding this to make it unfair to suspend, for the suspension to be 6 months long, which is quite a length of time. And it tends to negate the fact that this person was elected to the board by the membership. And I also worry about the majority eliminating the minority. We don't know all of the details of what happened at that meeting or the prior meetings that led up to it. To give us an idea of how egregious or not the actions of this board member were. But I would not personally wish to uphold the suspension, but would go for either completely eradicating it or the compromise, which I think is probably the best route that Dave is suggesting.
Okay, if no one else would like to speak, I'd like to react to some of what's been said. Okay.
I'd like to speak. Bob.
Why don't you go ahead, Bob, and then I'll speak.
Okay. Well, I just want to further address this question of the people saying that the due process rights of Mr. DiRienzo were not followed. On several occasions, over a span of 3 meetings, he had been called to order by name by the chair. At the beginning of one of the previous meetings, she specifically made comments about we really need to work towards more civility and mutual respect, and she expressed particular consternation at his use of Nazi language at a previous meeting. He was warned, he was called to order over and over and over again. So there was definitely that kind of warning and efforts to ameliorate the situation. On the night of the, you know, what many people considered the last straw, as I said, the chair again called him to order by name, did the basic warnings that are required. She didn't take the extra step, which is a should in Robert's Rules. It's not a must. It says the chair should ask the secretary to take down the words. But as I said, if we're going to have some kind of mechanical, inhuman view of Robert's Rules, rather than look at the situation where this highly abusive man had just made these crude, sexist, vulgar statements that she felt beaten about the head, and we're going to blame the victim and say because she didn't follow a voluntary detail in Robert's Rules about writing down the words that night and asking the body that night what to do, because it wasn't until fitful, sleepless nights that she and another woman on the board who finally did decide to bring the motion said, you know what, she was trying to keep things together and not have a further escalation that night while she had just been assaulted. and finally, you know, woke up and said, no, you know, something has to be done. And she opened the next meeting by saying, you know, that this conduct is severe and basically what does the body want to do when that motion was brought. So I don't think there's any credible case that Robert's Rules was not followed or any sense of basic fairness wasn't followed. You have to look at the totality of the circumstances and the repetitiveness and escalation and the physical element of the offense here. And this is all on the public record. It's all videotaped. It's all available for anyone to see. And I agree that, of course, in theory, an abusive majority could move against somebody if they wanted to. And that would become quite clear to all to see. And that would be a case where the PNB could intervene. But the behavior here is so far over the line that I don't think anyone can question that action needed to be taken. And so that's on that point. How much time is left?
Rob? Oh, our timekeeper's gone. We actually only have time for about one more comment if we stick to half
an
hour. Well, I personally think that this is productive and would like to extend.
No, I said about 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
And I also want to say I'm really offended by the statements that that our Paula is making about other board members having to be physically restrained by security guards. That never happened ever, and I just don't think in any case that other examples, whether they happened or not, have any bearing on what happened in this case. That was those are old allegations that have never been backed up by, you know, by any action of any sort. But in any case, the main point here, I think it's really important, is about recognizing that the fight to take back Pacifica from the corporatists was a big part of it was about the local autonomy of the stations, and people in other four signal areas who weren't there are not really in the position to judge. And if they want to look at the tapes, that they can see, you know, exactly what the conduct was.
This is Serena. I'd like to get
Mr. Chairman, rise to a point of personal privilege.
Yeah, I'll recognize that. And then Serena, hang on. I'm going
to
recognize that, and Serene will go before me because you haven't spoken yet. And then we'll be at time, and at that point I think we need to. I would personally like to extend. So hang on. Rob, I'm sorry, what are you saying?
I asked to speak as well.
Oh, okay. Then I'll put you on after Serene, because you've spoken prior. So our Paul, Serene, Rob, and me.
I'm using a point of personal privilege here.
Right.
The idea that none of that happened is absolutely what's untrue. It did happen. On the November 30th meeting, immediately upon the ending of that meeting, one person who had been abusive throughout the meeting and throughout other meetings tried to physically assault one of the local station board members.
Paul, I'd like to stop you. Pointing to personal privilege, I thought you were going to object to his characterization of you.
Well,
but
no,
if it's a response to a substantive claim, then I don't think that should be as a point of personal privilege.
Said it wasn't true. I'm saying it is true. I'll give you details. Okay, one. It is true. Person was physically restrained on November 30th, and the July 7th meeting, it's absolutely unequivocal because the person later, the person in question who had assaulted the member who's been suspended, when they had another verbal altercation at a meeting that I was chairing.
Paul, I don't think that I'm going to overrule this as a point of personal privilege. A point of personal privilege is, for example, if somebody has defamed you or something, to clarify. But you're not responding to defamation. You're arguing the substance
I'm showing
of the point
that,
he made.
I'm showing that the defamation was very wrong.
Okay, well,
I'll do it this way. There is proof, there's total proof. I have witnessed this stuff, and one of the people even basically admitted it at one point.
Okay.
So
I would like to
my citation that there has been this kind of thing happening at BAI-LSB meetings is absolutely true, and a whole lot more disruption has happened
than
the member who's been.
We register that you take umbrage at Bob's characterization of you as being incorrect, as being in error. Serene.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things, which is that the The very language that is used to describe people who have different positions on the board, I think in many cases, and I think we've had some fine examples here tonight from Mr. Martin, are simply not terribly productive. They are meant to paint a picture that I think is quite false. I have been at board meetings where members of the board, members of the public, have accosted me, calling me bitch. I don't know if we can stream that, and other things, and have had absolutely no outcry from the people who are my ideological opponents, none whatsoever, no comment from the former chair. The level of animosity, of animus, and the level of hostile behavior that has been engaged in by members of the other side, you know, are something that no one ever wants to talk about. In fact, not only do we not have any attempt in many cases or any objection at all to some of the most egregious behavior, which frankly has made a number of people attending our meetings feel physically unsafe, which I do not think should be the case. And I think if not only do we not have protests when this behavior is engaged in, but we in fact have people who attempt to then justify the behavior. Just tonight, we sat and heard Mr. Martin make claims that, well, you know, he was responding to something that was said. The behavior that was cited is behavior that occurred in January and December. The speech to which Mr. DiRienzo was allegedly responding didn't occur until March. But, you know, there's a very twisted version of history and what's appropriate here and what's appropriate behavior. We do not, any of us, have to like each other. We do, I insist, have to show up at meetings, do the work we're sent there to do, and we should be able to do that without facing either physical danger or verbal assault from other members of the board, period. And that is the issue. The issue is, do I have a right to attend a board meeting without hearing racist taunts from other members of the board? Do I have a right to attend a meeting and not have members of the public say F you, which has happened, and have not only my fellow board members not support that, but then to have board members engage in that? And when a man stands across the room and says, F you, you know I don't listen to you, F you, to a woman, he's not simply assaulting the woman to whom those comments are directed. I would think he's assaulting every right-minded person, or perhaps I should say left-minded person, who is present, regardless of gender. This board, this local board, we have to live where we are. This is where we live. And to excuse this behavior is unacceptable, and that is exactly what a reversal would do.
Rob.
I've been listening to Pacifica since I grew up in the 50s at, you know, in the Bay Area, and I've never heard the kind of racist speech and dialogue, the hate-filled dialogue that's cropping up in the last few years. And I think that's absolutely a function of what's going on right now. I have heard Mr. DiRienzo on a number of occasions behave in ways which is totally antithetical to the Pacifica mission. I don't want to see Pacifica become a place where racist speech and hate speech can obtain. I would like to see us put the 400 years of slavery behind us. I would like to see us put the Holocaust behind us. But this is not going to happen if we now all of a sudden create a governance environment in which our mission and our broadcast mission is downplayed so that people like this can hold sway and create Pacifica as some kind of a place where people who have hate in their hearts are able to hold the day. And that's what's happening right now, quite frankly. I think that many of our local station boards and the Pacifica National Board, and if you go to the meetings, the local meetings or the national meetings, you will see that what's going on is not governance that supports the mission, but people who want to prosecute an agenda. And the agenda is not an agenda which supports bringing communities together. bringing people from different nations and races together, or even providing information that is not, you know, commonly available. What we've got going on right now is we have a bunch of people that want to make governance more important than the Pacifica mission and the broadcast mission. And I think what's occurring, you know, at our local stations and nationally is terrible. And unless we give the local station boards the authority to do what's in the bylaws to discipline their members, we are going to turn into an organization that has nothing to do with the Pacifica mission. And I really, really believe that the kind of hate speech and racist speech and anti-Semitic speech that we've seen recently can only be stopped if we allow the local station boards to take disciplinary action. Thanks. That's it.
Yeah, I just want to point out that a couple of people, I feel, are mixing together things. When we talk about, for example, like R. Paul made some comments about if we allow 6-month suspensions, blah, blah, blah. There's a difference between what's going to happen, and Rob just mentioned, well, we can't, we have to let local boards do so and so. There's a distinction. We were asked as a governance committee to come up with a recommendation for the De Rienzo suspension. Particularly, that was the language of the motion that happened at the PNB meeting. That is a separate matter from our working together to work out a process that in the future takes into account each of the type of concerns we've heard on this issue. One, the ability of people to protect themselves from abusive behavior, and two, the ability to protect against abusive power by a majority. So I do want to keep those things separate. I have other comments, but I'm not going to make them because we're at time for this. I think that this form of discussion has continued to be helpful, so I would like to recommend that we extend for about another 15 minutes and work out a specific recommendation on this issue. But if we can't get, 2/3 consent to do that, then we'll go into the parliamentary process for dealing with the motions. Is anybody interested in continuing this process for another 15 minutes?
This is Lydia. I'd be interested in it if we can...
Focus.
If we can actually come up with concrete proposals. I have like a three-parter that I...
Okay. Does anybody else object to spending 15 more minutes in informal consideration for that purpose? Okay, I don't hear any objection to that. So I'd like to go another 15 minutes and now limit time to 2 minutes each, if possible, so everybody can be heard. Lydia, you have a proposal, so...
Yes, I would like to see us, when we go into the formal form of this meeting, is to have like three issues considered in resolution, the first two in a particular resolution, because that's what we were charged with. The first one being is that I would like to recommend that the parties involved come to a mutual agreement, including the chair, to perhaps consider shortening the time of the suspension, that part of that recommendation from this committee include mediation, and that mediation either be with the chair and the specific parties and the person suspended, or preferably with the entire board. There are mediators that different boards have dealt with that are excellent. We had one here in LA a couple of years ago and that didn't charge very much because they happened to be familiar with Pacifica, etc. So that was, you know, there are mediators around, in other words. So I think mediation is critical here. That's my first proposal. My second phase of this would be then to take a vote on whether to rescind that action and that was taken of the suspension if the mediation does not result in a mutual agreement to shorten the suspension. And I would favor not doing so, not overturning it, because of the precedent that it would send. And then the third part would be to come up with the something on suspension.
30
which
seconds
I would,
remaining.
And I would favor what Dave proposed last time, which was the suspension would be no more than one meeting after the meeting where the offense takes place.
Anybody else?
I'd like to speak to this. for a minute.
Who is that?
Paul on the stack.
Who is that? Grace,
Grace
on here?
Grace Aaron.
Okay, Grace and then our Paul.
I think that, of course, none of us want a lack of civility at our board meetings. It's disruptive, it wastes our time, it creates animosity, and it's counterproductive. What I am troubled by is the accusations, whether they're false or not false, they need to be considered, and that those are the accusations that this person was suspended, but similar egregious behavior was engaged upon by other board members and who are not disciplined. So if there is justice for some but not for others, it creates a bad atmosphere. So now I am saying that this is what I'm taking from this discussion. I haven't listened to all the board meetings. If we could have this, if I could have this elucidated, I might be able to make a more informed vote on this matter.
Or Paul?
Yeah. I think the idea of mediation is probably a good idea. I would certainly like to see somebody who is not involved heavily in all of this, who can approach it objectively, look at this, hear what's happening, you know, look at what the rules all are and everything else, and make a decision that is not going to be...
Hang on a sec, Rob, what'd you say?
When did Grace give up?
Like 20 seconds ago.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. This will be shorter than that anyway. I think mediation is probably we might want to go to, because it will allow somebody who will not be in the middle of all the heat to take a look at this and maybe render a decision that everybody can live with. So I certainly think that would be an idea.
Can I just, as a point of information, find out from Bob or Serene or our Paul? Mark Roberts said, as I said at the meeting, after this was all over, that he had discussed with, I thought it was Vajra, that they would consider a reduction in the duration. Is that something that you guys, I mean, was he wrong in that? What do you think of that proposal? Is that a live proposal? Can we figure out a way to split this difference so that we can give respect to the right of that board, given the absence of a policy, but also address some of these concerns about the duration of that suspension having been made in the absence of clarity about the policy?
This is Bob. This is the first I've ever heard of this. I don't know anything about Vajra agreeing to that.
It's not
my understanding that she has.
Okay, thanks.
This is the first I'm hearing of it, too. And as of last night, there were even discussions about whether, we now only had 23 members on the thing and whether that counted for a quorum or not for a very short while. So it hasn't played out in New York.
Okay, so it's not a goer at this moment. I'm sorry?
That statement is so not relevant.
Okay. All right, so next, anybody else? I'll go. I'm not hearing anybody rush to the floor. I really think that we need to... We haven't yet done what the purpose of this, which is figuring out if we can figure out something that accommodates... everybody in this. Now, actually, that's not entirely true. Our Paul said he thought that would be a reasonable idea. Serene and Bob, I'd like to hear, do you see any way of making some concession to the concerns you've heard people on the committee express that you would find acceptable with the spirit of things, or is your position that basically it should be upheld, end of story?
Well, this is Serena. I don't know that I would phrase it should be upheld, end of story. I think, and you guys don't actually perhaps know this, or perhaps you've listened to some of the recordings since the suspension. The behavior has not abated in any way. It is almost as bad as it was then. you know, doesn't last for as long simply because he's not present for the entire meeting. But even last night there was a spectacle, a disruption of the meeting. Grace, I think it was, made a statement that she wanted, made some reference to Paul's statement, which is a false statement that similar behavior had been engaged in by other board members and went unpunished. I mean, just frankly, the numbers, and I don't particularly care for the term fraction. I think, you know, as I said, I think it's a lot of heat and not much light. I think we have different positions on a number of very important issues. The majority on the board was quite different last year. Never once was the issue of a board member's conduct. Not only was there nothing resembling this conduct from any member of the board, period, there was absolutely the whole story I keep hearing about people who've been attacked. In fact, the same person who claims that she's now been attacked, I think, by three or four people, at one point was claiming that I attacked her until she realized that there was a witness to her actually shoving me, and has since backed off that story, and that claim has died. You know, I mean, it's kind of silly, or at least it would be silly if we weren't wasting quite so much time, money, and energy on this when we should be doing other things. The member in question, and I don't know what his motive is, I could only speak to the behavior that I have witnessed. The behavior does not resemble that in the slightest of someone who has the best interest of the station, of the board, of the station, or frankly of the network, you know, anywhere in the picture. I wouldn't even say uppermost in that person's mind. The behavior is atrocious. I wouldn't say I wish you guys were here, because I don't think anybody should have to deal with it. I think that the board made a decision. The board made a decision after extended, repeated warnings, after repeated urging. In fact, I found that our chair was not sufficiently firm in calling this person to order, because the disorder was a constant state of affairs. So
I think that is a no, really.
No, I'm not asking you to interpret it. I'm asking you to listen. I think that the board took a step after considered, after it was a very considered approach. It was not something that you say, oh, well, gee, here's a motion that says da-da-da-da-da, let's just go with it. I think we had been subjected to, as nobody, no, and take that in both senses, nobody and no body should be subjected to, and certainly not by someone who claims to be a member of that body. So I am completely unaware of any discussion approaching some sort of compromise, nor, as I said, has there been any genuine attempt on the part of this member to reform his behavior, even in the present, you know, crisis that he has led us all to. Why are we spending time on this? We've got real work to do.
Anybody
yeah, David,
else?
Can I speak? This is Rob Robinson.
I'd also like to speak.
Okay, so Rob and then Jane.
I was at the board meeting, and I was struck by the degree of sneering contemptuousness of this member when he stood up and apologized. And then after that, he sat there with a video camera and made a point of pointing it at everybody that objected to his behavior. It was outrageous. This is not somebody who is a Pacifican, who supports the Pacifica mission. This is somebody who it has nothing but contempt for those of us that try to carry that mission forward. And it was just outrageous.
Hang on, if I may. Attributions of that sort about members are explicitly forbidden in Roberts. We can talk about the behavior if you want, saying that behavior is unacceptable. But impugning any member is something that we are not supposed to do in discussion.
Well, I'm sorry if I impugned anything, but I was there and I watched this man again who was supposedly apologizing for his behavior, speak to the board, and the contempt that came out of that, the lack of remorsefulness, was just shocking. So, say what you want, David, but this is not something that's not clear.
Jane?
I wanted to try to come back to Lydia's original suggestion, perhaps looking at it backwards. I think that on the matter of future disciplinary actions, that perhaps we might agree that that suspensions, that the duration of suspension will no longer be more than one meeting past the vote. I'm thinking that perhaps we could actually come to agreement on that or some version of that. On the matter of this specific suspension, whether to uphold it or not, I suspect we're not going to come to agreement and that we may have to just vote on it. And I'd hate to do that with just those of us who are present, but it looks like that may be the only choice. And on our first one, that the parties involved, including the chair, come to a mutual agreement to perhaps consider reducing the duration of the suspension, I would think that that would be in light of, if we do come to some agreement, that a suspension should be of a set duration and that anything longer than that would require following due process for expulsions. I think that perhaps is something that we could all come to agreement on.
Yeah, I'd like to go if I could, and then Bob. I agree very much with the sentiment that Jane just expressed. Rob did ask a particular question of Audra at the meeting and asked whether if he thought one meeting suspension would have done anything to change the behavior, and she answered no. I also think that there's a distinction between abusive behavior and behavior that's not, you know, that's sort of outside the bounds. Like, there's a difference between a disruption and abusive behavior. And if you actually look at Roberts closely, we're all out of order all the time. For example, you're supposed to address the chair, not another member. You're never supposed to question the motives of other members. People are not supposed to speak out of turn, blah, 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 blah. So there's this whole spectrum of things that you're not allowed to do under Roberts. So we might have a policy that says, you know, for disruptive behavior of an egregious nature, you have up to a certain amount. For abusive behavior, you might have another certain thing. But I agree with Jane. I think we can work on that. I think we should really focus on trying to come to some agreements on that quickly. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that at this meeting, but we need to get it quickly. My reticence, I also think, you know, I saw the abusive behavior. I mean, I heard it. I watched videos. And I've actually seen behavior consistent with that in other circumstances, most notably at the first PMV meeting when we got the IPMV seated. So I understand that we're dealing with a different kind of thing. What I'm hearing coming out of New York is, you know, such an extreme example of same planet, different worlds, and such strongly differing views of, you know, even basic sets of facts, that it's something that's really, really disturbing. And I would like to hear some kind of statement about trying to step back from it. We have a majority in New York that took an action. They could fight and claim it has the absolute right to do that and nothing more. I would like to see that group, I would like to see a suggestion from this committee that we ask that board to try and work at craft for itself some solution that is consistent with the spirit of a more limited period of suspension or some such. So, and that the board would reconsider, for example, if what Serena's saying about continued abusive behavior at meetings is going on, and can be documented, you know, and if nothing changes in the next couple of months, I would say, well, you can make an argument that they acted reasonably. If on the, I disagree with Rob's characterization, although, you know, I don't know what Paul was doing at that meeting. I thought he was reasonably contrite in his statement, and I didn't see him acting in a goading way. But, you know, again, same planet, different worlds. You know, you can see different people interpret things differently. So I really support Jane's approach, and maybe we're going to do no better than a majority and a minority report about this. My only reticence about reversal is that although I think on a couple of technical points they did not follow procedure, and Bob, I was not talking about not having had him, his name written down. I was talking about the explicit process of attempting twice to call somebody to order at a meeting before you take action on suspension, and that just didn't happen. The motion to suspend was prepared and ready, and I understand that people were not aware of this provision prior, so they could not have acted on it at a prior meeting. I understand it was part of a pattern, and I don't want to get into a hair-splitting exercise over that. I do think we do need to address this one question that has been raised about whether or not a committee has the right to discipline their member, and I think we should say that they do, because the bylaws say they have the LSB has the right to remove. So if they have the right to remove, they ought to have the right to do something sub-threshold to removal. So I think that needs to be part of our motion, or our motions that come out of this. I think it should be of the form, remember, we believe, based on that feature of the bylaws, that the LSBs have the right of to discipline members, distinct from other types of committees. Two, that we need to present, we need to develop clear suspension guidelines with progressive discipline in them, with distinctions for abusive behavior and for disruptive behavior, and that I think we just need to tell them we'll try and get that done by the next PMB meeting, not this. And then the third one is whether or not we vote to uphold. Actually, I'd like it in not uphold, but there should be a motion to reverse. And whether or not we vote agreed to reversal, and a majority and minority report that says why. So, and in terms of what Lydia suggested about mediation, I think that's great, but you know, the PNB talked about having a mediator for BAI from way back. These things aren't getting any better. They're getting, as far as I can tell, well, I can't tell, but they don't seem to be getting better, and we keep talking about mediation, and I haven't heard any progress. So that was long-winded. Bob, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Dave's first two proposals, I think the general spirit behind them, I think I can support if I'm understanding them right. Certainly reaffirming the right of LSBs to discipline members when needed, as long as, you know, people's rights are protected, that's important. And the idea of going forward, having a specific policy on progressive discipline, I mean, when we get down to discussing the details of that, I might have some particular points where I just think we have to be cautious about limiting too much what can be done with a recalcitrant person who then, if you force a disciplinary standard to require a two-thirds vote, if you have a closely divided board where people are unwilling to move against their political allies or people that they agree with politically, then you may be ensuring a recipe for continued disruption and abuse. So I'm not arguing against having some sort of gradations, and I think it's very important what Dave said about the distinction between simple violation of rules or even, you know, speaking out of turn, shouting out of turn, versus abuse and discriminatory conduct. So that part I think is very, you know, I think we can move forward on. And as far as the straight up or down, reversal of what happened in New York, I just think that that the question is, given the fact that this has never been come up in the year and a half of these bylaws, is it proper for the PNB to reverse a good faith decision by a local board that made its best effort to follow what it understood at the time to be Robert's Rules of Order, and to be, you know, dealing with an extremely difficult situation that they interpreted to the best of their ability.
30 seconds.
Okay, to figure it out. I think it sets a very bad precedent to second guess that. The important thing is to learn whatever lessons about new system can be designed so that in the future all the rules are really clear and everyone's rights can be protected in a way everyone's comfortable with, but not to go back and overturn the best exercise of judgment at the time by people who knew the local reality they were dealing with.
I'd like to cut in here and ask that we work on the form of the motion that this committee is going to vote on in the next section. We have before us, R. Paul, you said old business. We have several motions that we're going to be voting on. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have, well, the situation is that we have a main motion, which sort of is what we're talking about. Then we have amendments, one of which refers to going to an executive session before the PNB meeting, which is now over, and the other one of which says that there be a process to investigate what happened. So I don't know how we will handle the two amendments, because the main motion and the amendments are what are still unfinished business.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we'll just deal with those questions. We'll vote them up or down or rule them moot at that point. And then once we get through that, presumably we will take up the alternative motion. And Lydia's proposed language is so far the only formal thing I've heard. Are we going to try and get anything closer, or is that approximately what we're going to be proposing? I think what I said departs from a little in that it includes a couple of other provisions of our motion.
I was writing down something while you talk. Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, that would be great.
One, LSBs have the right to discipline their members, which is distinct from other committees. Two, on the matter of future suspensions, A, for disruptive behavior, the duration of a suspension shall not exceed, I put in 1 month, pass the vote just for filling in the blank. B, for abusive and discriminatory behavior, the duration of a suspension shall not exceed something, 3 meetings, pass the vote. C, for suspensions longer than 3 meetings shall be deemed to be an expulsion. I mean, I added that because I thought that was kind of the intent of what you were saying. Then 3, on the request to overturn the WBAI suspension by majority vote, we do or do not. And then 4, if we wanted to say something about suspension.
Yeah, the only thing I would say in there is I think rather than coming to the procedure about the suspensions, we should just report that we are working on guidelines that for doing that, and we'll present that at the next meeting. So rather than us having to vote, I don't think we have time to engage that discussion and get to a motion at this point. So it was just, but the rest of it was sort of pretty much what I had in mind. And the point about they do have the power, the question would be whether we say, there's this provision in Roberts that says committees can't discipline their members. And the motion I would say is that the governance committee believes that on the basis of the right to removal of LSBs, that they also that they have features as distinct from other committees of the board, and therefore ought have the right or do have the right or to discipline their members according to procedures that to limitations which the PMB will consider in the coming months.
I'm sorry, the bylaws clearly give the LSBs the right to discipline their members.
Right. But
how did you just curtail that?
Well, no, the bylaws give the LSBs the right to a specific remedy, which is called expulsion.
Removal.
One of the things that the WBI LSB did is they said, absent any other rules about suspension. Roberts gives us the right to a suspension. But Roberts also says that a committee may not discipline its members, and the bylaws define LSBs as committees of the PNB. So there's a contradiction. The bylaws give the LSBs explicitly, say explicitly, they are a committee, and they have this power of suspension, of expulsion. But they all...
Disciplinary action days.
Excuse me.
But
no.
David,
expulsion.
The foundation is not designed to implement Robert's Rules of Orders. We have bylaws, and we can set policies that implement the bylaws.
That's right.
Robert's Rules of Order do not have precedence over our bylaws and our articles of incorporation.
May I point out that the WBAI LSB invoked Robert's rules as the basis of their suspension,
so,
given that there was
so,
an absence in the bylaws, mm-hmm. and that the bylaws said where the bylaws don't specify
Robert's rules. So the board can write policy on the bylaws, can't they?
Pardon me?
So the board can enact policy on the bylaws that implement the bylaws.
That's
and
right.
talk about suspensions or removals
That's right.
in more detail.
That's right. And what I am saying is that we should say that LSBs also have a right of suspension. Now, Robert says that they don't, because Robert says the committees don't have rights of suspension. The bylaws don't specify rights of suspension. So I am saying, you understand the argument?
Yeah, David, I do. But the reality is that Robert's rules do not have priority over our bylaws.
I understand, but our bylaws don't give LSBs the right to suspend. It was Robert's rules that they invoked in order to do that.
But the board has the ability to enact policy that implement the bylaws, and they can put up suspensions, disciplinary actions, any number of things.
The PNB has that right.
That's right. The issue is not what Robert's Rules of Order say. They are not the alpha and omega here.
Excuse me, this is Jane. Can I add something?
Go ahead.
I think that that's what we're trying to do right now, Rob, is to give some language to the for that exact purpose. I think that it was my understanding, so one, LSBs have a right to discipline their members, which is distinct from other committees. Two, on the matter of future suspensions, our committee is working on language for a policy that will provide for successive levels of disciplinary action. I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Yeah, that's good. Progressive.
Progressive. Okay, and on the matter of the WBI suspension by majority vote, we do or do not uphold?
No, I don't think it should be uphold. I think it should be vote to reverse.
So that's, and then except for the issue about mediation, those are the three things that we're talking about, I think, right now. Perhaps we could vote on them in order?
Is that consistent with what other people think is going on right now? Because it sounds great to me.
This is Serene. Can I just ask that, Dave, I understand that you're chairing, but you do seem to have a tendency to jump in when everyone speaks, and I would sort of ask that you try to restrain that.
Okay.
I ask that if motions are on the verge of being made, if the maker could email them to the list so that I'll have them to be able to read exactly.
Okay, if we're at that point, I would do it.
Well, just whatever we're about to do it, since apparently we're getting really close, it'll be helpful if the person just emails it. That way there won't be any mistakes, and we won't have to go over it a lot while I type while listening. So some of the connections here seem to be very low volume, and it's hard to hear.
Okay, so are we ready to go forward into a formal session and consider these things?
Yes.
Okay.
One question, Dave?
Yeah, Bob?
So we'll be considering them as separate freestanding motions, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Not as parts of one connected motion.
No,
that,
I think that...
That would make more sense. Since
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, can we just deal with this, with sustaining the suspension first?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what we need to do is the old business, the motions that were previously old business, then the specific motion that was sent to us from the PNB, And then these additional things that Jane very kindly worked up and that Lydia's proposed. So that's the proposal for the remainder of the meeting. However, we are coming up on 7:30 now. Can we have a motion to extend by 30 minutes in order to dispense with all the business? 20?
I so move, Grace Aaron.
How long?
20.
20 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Is there an objection? Okay, great. Then we'll do it that way. I actually have to get into my car and drive to KPFK, so I'll be on my cell phone. Would somebody be willing to chair the meeting while we start with the old business for like 4 minutes while I get down to my car? Jane, would you do it?
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Thank you so much.
By the way, chairs can vote in committee.
Right, right. Okay, so Jane, you'll go ahead and do that, and our Paul, you'll get the business before us in order?
Yep.
Thank you so much. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Can you hear me all right, or am I one of the ones with the faint connection?
You're a little low volume. I can get it.
Okay, so you want to bring the matter, the old business, before us right now?
Yep. Grab it here. The motions which are coming up from unfinished business are as follows. The main motion is move the governance committee recommends to the PNB that it rescind the suspension passed on March 9th of an LSB member in New York. The first amendment is, before any recommendation be made by this committee, that there be a process to investigate what happened. And the final amendment is that the governance committee have an executive session before next week's PNB meeting for the investigation. I would suggest that the final amendment has been made moot because the thing it was aiming to do is over.
Does anybody have an objection to dispensing with that? Okay, what was the next one then?
Okay, let me write that down. The other amendment is, before any recommendation be made by this committee, that there be a process to investigate what happened.
Is there any discussion on that?
Well, Do we think that what we've done tonight is an investigation? I don't know.
Plenty written. There are tapes out there, those of us that are available.
Well,
everybody that's seen the tape understands what went on.
I guess we're debating this then. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, Lydia put me on stack.
Okay, I think Arpal, Lydia, anybody else?
Sandra from Houston.
Sandra, okay. Arpal?
Yeah. First of all, people are looking at videos that have been edited, and, this is Bob's roommate doing it, so it's not like there's a totally objective situation here. This is stuff that's being edited with a partisan point of view, so I don't think it's totally objective. Yeah, so I think that people need to consider that part of it, that if we're going to consider this an investigation, then we'd have to have an actual objective investigation looking at very least, unedited tapes and stuff like that, and getting testimony from numbers of people, I suppose. So an investigation would actually be sort of a big thing.
Lydia?
Okay, so, but at hand, I mean, there are some things that will just simply never be resolved. I don't care what an investigation renders. And this has been the case throughout so many issues in Pacifica. And certainly the same thing is with Robert's Rules, for God's sakes. As I've mentioned before, when I have gone to that national board of accredited
parliamentarians.
It still renders nothing. They still are totally divided on everything I've ever asked. So anyway, what I'm saying is that some of these things end up being somewhat inconclusive, which is why I would like to see us move on at a certain point. So I think in terms of investigation, if you were to do it properly, it would be extremely costly, number one, and still not necessarily render a firm conclusion, which is why I am really pushing again for the mediation, and I would like us to move forward and dispense with the issues at hand and then come up with new resolutions, because I plan to make one that says absent mutual agreement by all parties concerned, blah, 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 right? So, and that all of that is language that is absent any of these, any of what we have to dispense with, which is really simple. I think we can take up and down votes on them.
Would anybody else like to speak on this amendment?